President Obama talked today about reducing the deficit in his speech at George Washington University. He didn't say much about federal employees, but he appeared to put a lot of stock in recommendations from his Deficit Reduction Commission. Dan Adcock is Legislative Director for the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, or NARF, and here to talk about what might be next for you. Dan, you're traveling out of town. I appreciate you taking some time to talk about this so quickly after the president's speech.
No problem, Francis.
The president didn't say anything specifically about federal employees and benefits and so on. We thought he might. Are you surprised that he didn't?
Well, no, I'm not. I mean, you look back at many State of the Unions, and rarely is there a specific shout-out to a proposal that any president wants to make regarding federal employment and retirement. So it's not unusual. I think that when the president is thinking about drafting a speech, it's more along the lines of some of the bigger picture items. And so I think that's why you saw him speak more to much larger programs like Medicare program, for instance, and some of his proposals for the tax code as well. So I'm not surprised, but I guess one part of it that we do have some concerns about is there's, I think he mentioned something about $200 billion in unspecified cuts, and just with the uncertainty of the shutdown for federal workers and knowing that we just finally are finished with the 2011 budget process, and we're about to begin, a much bigger, higher stakes process of 2012. I think when you look at that kind of money, where we have a bunch of unspecified cuts, we don't know how they'll impact the federal family, how it'll impact pay or job security, and then connect that to the dots of the House budget resolution that's on the floor that's going to take $375 billion out of the hides of federal workers. It's this roller coaster ride that's just at the beginning, unfortunately, and we have big concerns as we move forward with the process.
He did appear to pretty explicitly embrace at least the main concepts of the Bowles-Simpson or Simpson-Bowles Commission, however you want to phrase it, his Deficit Reduction Commission.
Right.
What did they say about federal employees, and do you think it's fair at this point to say, well, just because the president's embracing those general concepts, we should also expect that that's what he's going to want to do when it comes to federal employees?
Well, unfortunately, of all the I think there's 45 proposals in the Fiscal Commission report, the one that I guess gave us the biggest immediate pause in December after the report was released was the 2-year pay freeze that federal employees were now living with. And so, but fortunately since then, he has not specifically endorsed any specific item. And I guess that does give us hope. But boy, when you ask, what was in there that affects federal employees and retirees, and there just is a huge laundry list of some of the worst imaginable cuts to the earned pay and compensation, retirement benefits, and health benefits of federal employees and retirees that are a real nightmare for our community.
I mentioned a few minutes ago that the president sent out this memo earlier in the week to thank federal employees for staying focused during all of the back and forth on the FY 2012 budget, the continuing resolution debate, and all of that. And yet, there are some folks, I'm starting to see some comments crop up on federalnewsradio.com on some of the stories that we put up about this and so on, where people are saying, forgive me for thinking that I'm hearing one thing and seeing another, especially if what some people are speculating on, which is he's going to pretty much go by letter of the law when it comes to the deficit commission as to how it applies to federal employees. Can you understand why federal employees might have a little case of a whiplash or feeling like they're at a tennis match?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think that their anxiety about all this is very understandable given the stakes and given that these proposals are out there right now. And especially, when we're getting back again to the budget resolution with a cut of $375 billion facing us. I can understand why they're anxious. I mean, obviously there's words and there's deeds and we hope that the president in his speech today talked about shared sacrifice, and certainly I think federal workers and employees are willing to make sacrifices to put our fiscal house in order, and already have done so by this 2-year pay freeze that everybody is suffering under right now. But unfortunately, the history with this, when we've been down this road before, when we've seen this movie before, is that you know, when lawmakers look at these larger programs that are very popular with huge constituencies like Medicare and Medicaid, the only thing that's left standing at the end of the day is federal retirement and employment. Unfortunately, you know, we become the whipping boy, and as a result, I think we're concerned that when this process is boiled down to its last little bit, that all that's going to be left standing are the cuts to federal employment, their retirement, and that we'll take disproportionate hits.
As you have worked this issue and all of these issues on Capitol Hill, do you get a sense that there is any kind of a change going on? For a long time, the members of Congress, both sides of the Hill and both parties that represented this area, were pretty successful in at least maintaining whatever pay and benefits gains they were able to make for federal employees. Are you getting a sense that any of that is starting to erode with the budget situation that we're in now? And the reason I wonder is it's great to have 6 or 8 or 10 members of Congress that are on the side of federal employees, but if momentum is starting to swing and they're the only ones, it's not going to bode well congressionally for whatever it is the president wants to try to put forward.
Right. Well, I'm happy to say that the Washington D.C. metropolitan area delegation from Virginia and Maryland and D.C. of course, they're still solidly behind the federal community. You know, people like Frank Wolf and Steny Hoyer and Jim Moran and Jerry Connolly and Chris Van Hollen and Donna Edwards and John Sarbanes, all, you know, stalwart supporters of the federal community. But you're right. I mean, you know, if when these votes aren't even close, it's hard to prevail in these situations. You know, I can give you one example where recently we did, and that is that there was an amendment that Chairman Issa, who's chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, had to eliminate step increases for the rest of the fiscal year. We were able to defeat that, and we got 46 members of the Republican caucus to vote against it. So I think that gives us some optimism for what we can do in the future, but again, that's a single amendment on a single issue. When you have cuts rolled into a much larger package, like a budget resolution or a budget reconciliation bills or these big appropriations bills, it's a lot harder for some of our friends to oppose those much larger packages. But we certainly are going to urge them to do that and to honor the commitments that the government has made to its employees and retirees.
Dan, travel safe. Thanks for getting on the phone with me right before you get on the airplane. I appreciate your time today.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Dan Adcox, legislator.